Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. It is the 15th day of June, 2016. And this is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. Folks are beginning to wander into the chat room, which you can wander into, too, if you so desire. It's free. It's easy. No charge. Nothing. There's never any charge for anything here at The Horn. You can have it all. It's for free. And the chat room, like I said, is equally so. All you got to do is go to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, click on chat room, pick yourself out a password and a screen name, and you will be right there in the midst of the merriment, the zany madcap extravaganza, multimedia, real time, alongside folks like Anatole and Jay Cruzen and Jeremy in Vermont, Jug of Punch, Labor Man, Little Gray, Tim from L.A., all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators Lottie and Sparky. Sparky, of course, being a third stage guild navigator who has folded space this afternoon to become Man Cave. Yes. Yes, indeed. Well, I tell you what, Tim from L.A., you're quick on the trigger with that, aren't you? What's your name? Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. You know, when you get right down to it, it's in the intro. But, oh well. Thank you very kindly, Jeremy in Vermont. Loud and clear on TuneIn, Bob. We found out last night the Orlando shooter used a Sig Sauer weapon, but it can be combined with AR-15 parts. Well, it's all the same thing. They are of a type. It's like saying that a person it doesn't. I'm not quibbling with you, Jeremy, but it's like, you know, the different. Well, you know, he was attacked with the man was attacked by a German Shepherd. Well, actually, it turns out it was a pit bull. But, you know, they can each be trained to become very, very deadly weapons. Right. Sig Sauer, of course, though, is it's actually more expensive because it's a foreign weapon. They're made in, what, Switzerland, maybe? Germany, perhaps? I'm not sure. Austria? I don't know. But Sig Sauer. And they are very, very good at what they do. Thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa. Coming through loud and clear in the Cathedral of Common Sense North. Very good, very good. Asa's TRS-80 is working very well for him this afternoon. And according to Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, it's 101 degrees with no air in my car. Ow. Yuck. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Jay Cruzen. Yeah, Sig Sauer is made in Germany and Exeter, New Hampshire. Okay, well, there's your moment of trivia for this evening. Of course, being the 15th day of June 2016, the 15th day of June 2016 falls upon a Wednesday. Yes, yes it does. And of course, hereabouts, Wednesdays are... Wednesdays are more than just the middle of the week. Wednesdays are more than just hump day. Wednesdays are more than just downhill to Friday. Oh, brethren and sistren, hallelujah, praise be unto the Most High. It's prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. I tell you what I mean. We had what a lovely, lovely dinner. The little old blue-haired ladies in the fellowship hall, with help from the little old blue-haired fellers, I might add. The Cathedral of Common Sense does not assign traditional gender stereotypical roles. I just mentioned the little old blue-haired ladies because they're better at it. But what a meal they put together. Goodness gracious, the greens are coming in. Oh, mercy. I tell you what, you take those fresh spinach leaves and you wash them real good and you let them drain, you pat them dry, and then you just braise them real quick. Just flash braise them in a skillet and you lay down a bed of them on the plate and you put just flash hot, because, you know, hotter than fish grease, like Sister Tracy talks about. You just lay down the blazing hot catfish fillets from recently caught from one of our less polluted streams. Nah, who are we kidding? They're all polluted. You can't eat it but once a month, or the next thing you know, you'll wander around repeating Lewis Carroll because your brain will be with mercury. But anyway, just laying that on top, and the greens cook as they sit underneath the catfish fillets with the wonderful, wonderful North Alabama tartar sauce. Oh, mercy sakes alive. Yes, indeedy, and some fried squash. Oh, goodness me, goodness me. The strawberries were beginning to come in, and there was pound cake made. My goodness gracious, nobody even had a chance against the deacon onslaught on the dessert table. Mercy, it was good. Yes, indeedy. Of course, the deacons wandered, trundled their way up the stairs and went out into the parking lot where every prayer meeting Wednesday they stand out there smoking with the sinners until such time as Sister Carol Baker gets the cattle prod and goes to poking at them with it. You know, usually it only takes a couple of touches before they all herd up and go lowing into the sanctuary, into the vestibule, through the vestibule, down past that 20-year-old bowl of desiccated butter mints, and right down here, down front, where they can do my bidding when it is time to pass the offering plate. Hallelujah, amen, glory. Which does bring me, in fact, to that portion of the program. You know, we do the offering before, not after. I want everybody wide awake when we're doing this, not after I've done put them to sleep. So, yes, in a moment, we will call up the minister of music, brethren and sistren, and we will pass the plate for this prayer meeting Wednesday. I want to send out thanks to our subscribers. Thanks to Gunny Bob out in North Dakota overnight. Yes. And thanks also. Sorry, I got a couple of knobs I'm dealing with here. Just one second here. Yes. And thanks also to Harold, President and CEO of the Happy Trails Round, the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, who helped us knock down the deficit. We've only got $15, and that's not even a hole. That's a puddle. So the fundraising goal for this evening is the typical $200 plus 15, and that'll take care of matters. So what does that work out to? One at 215. Two at $107.50, four at $53 and what, 8¼ cents or something like that. Yeah, but you get the idea. And the deacons will just pass the plates around there as the minister of music leads us in the offertory hymn, Brethren and Sistren. Amen and amen. So now, with every head bowed and every eye closed. That's what I thought. 53.08.25 cents. Thank you, Brother Little Gray, out there in the congregation. It's nice to have people with calculators who can do that on the fly instead of doing it in my tiny, tiny little challenged noggin. So $215 with every head bowed and every eye closed, except the one you keep open just a little bit to keep from getting a serious head injury with that heavy, heavy, heavy offering plate made of brass that's lined with sort of blood red velvet that matches the carpet. Yes, and has a PayPal button in the bottom of it. Just press that, get to the PayPal page, do what you got to do there, and we will help. You will help keep the Cathedral of Common Sense sending its healing and uplifting broadcasts around the globe. Brother Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. Oh, hallelujah. Praise. Praise, brethren and sistren, on this prayer meeting Wednesday. Hallelujah. Glory be. Thanks very kindly. The plate done come back with $30 in it, which means we have only $185 to go. $30, courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa, who's always there most every prayer meeting Wednesday. Now, a little before we get going real good, ha, glory, I hope everybody noticed that I had placed a roll of Tums in the offering plates, and everybody took one. It's not quite like that little cracker they give you in some of them other places, but that roll of Tums is going to help you, brethren and sisters, as we go through our prayer meeting this evening, because it could get kind of nauseating. You know, we use Tums because it's got calcium in it, instead of that aluminum chlorohydrate or whatever the heck it is that they put in your Rolaids and makes them so chalky and grainy. But I hope everybody got them a Tum, because it'll be quite helpful along the way. Also, just arriving with a note in the second plate as it came up for counting, brother or sister A. Nonny Mouse, kicked in, taking our fundraising goal down to $85, brethren and sister, and hot glory. Yes, indeed. Donated on this here with a meeting with a note saying donated on this prayer meeting Wednesday in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Goddess of Irony. Because she's doing overtime, brethren and sistren, lots of it. I have a feeling you'll be figuring that out in fairly short order, brethren and sistren. So we got only $85 to go this evening as the plates continue to pass through the congregation. Oh, mercy sakes, brethren and sistren, I am calling upon you to get up off of your seats and onto your feet and come on out. Come on out of the aisles, and then come on down that center aisle, down that blood red center aisle, brethren and sistren, and ha, glory, fall. Fall upon your knees at the altar of salvation. Ha, glory. Lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from the server on high. I am Archpope Uber Rabbi Ultimate Imam Animated Animist Antagonized Agnostic Vicarious Vicar Maximum Metropolitan Bob Kincaid. I knew there was one more, and I just kind of forgot it there. But this is the Cathedral of Common Sense Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Absolutely, Brother Steve. Steve from Georgia Stan with a special prayer request. You just let me know, Steve. You just let me know, and I'll be right there on it. A reminder from Brother Jay Cruzan that the Pappy Challenge is still out there, and as he noted, will be out there until the challenge is met or he dies. We're rooting for the challenge to be met, frankly. You might recall, and there's not a lot of cathedrals would do this, but we will. You might recall that Jay Cruzan has a challenge out there. He's looking for a particularly difficult to find bottle of communion spirits, shall we say. Yes. In particular, it is called Pappy Van Winkle's 20 or 23-year-old family reserve. He's looking for somebody who can find it at its retail price of about $220. He will pay you the $220, and there needs to be proof of provenance and genuineness and realness. But he'll pay, but then for your having found it, he will celebrate by contributing $500 to the Horn. So it's sort of a scavenger hunt. It's a 95 plus proof scavenger hunt. And one never knows where there might be a dusty bottle sitting around ignored and maybe even wrongly priced on a liquor store shelf somewhere. Yeah, I get it. Yes, I know. I know, Jay Cruz, and it's bourbon. I didn't think it was tequila. Not with a name like Pappy Van Winkle's. No. That is on the table, Jay Cruzan tells me it'll go up $10 a month. So just kind of keep that in mind next time. Just walk in. Hey, you got any Pappy Van Winkle's family reserve, 20 or 23-year-old? Right, that's how that is. So thank you for reminding me, Jay Cruzan. Now, brethren and sistren, now that you've had time to consume your Tums of Holiness, and hopefully put down some sort of a base for dealing with the nauseating information that we will have before us this evening, brethren and sistren, let's get right to it. There's audio involved with this, so one should also, having consumed one's tum, have the obligatory hockey puck ready. Now, this being prayer meeting Wednesday, we're going to celebrate the saving grace of Christ Jesus. And there's probably several other deities along the way. I mean, the Hindus don't get a pass on prayer meeting Wednesday. Neither do the Muslims, the Jews, the Buddhists when they do something stupid. But in this case, well, we're going to have to stick with Christianity, because while I haven't seen any stories about Muslims out there jumping for joy or Jews out there celebrating the slaughter of innocents in Orlando, man, I tell you what. The Christians are going great guns, sorry, no pun intended, celebrating the slaughter of 49 innocents and the wounding of 53 more, at least five of whom remain in grave or critical condition. Mm-hmm. Remember Rick Wiles? He's an alleged broadcaster, and of course he is an upstanding, God-fearing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Bible-believing friend of God. I mean, when he dies, he's going to heaven. He's pretty sure he knows where you're going to, and it ain't going to be up in heaven with him. Heaven's going to be practically empty. It's going to be Rick Wiles and all the angels and. And Rick will just tell you, go over there to the right hand of God and so, yeah, out of the way, Junior. I gotta tell the big guy how to run this. But then again, maybe he won't, because it looks like, according to him, the big guy's getting it done. Because Rick Wiles knows why it was that Omar Mateen got himself a couple of Second Amendment remedies and freedom protected all over the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. I warned you, didn't I? The hockey puck? Tums? I mean, the Tums were new. I mean, I just figured you might not be, but we'll get through this. Rick Wiles. Wasn't Rick Wiles the one that was walking his dog named Gator through his community, and the dog barked at the blow-up spider at Halloween because it was all full of demons? Yeah, that Rick Wiles. You betcha. You ready for this? Let's press the button. Move the fader. I've heard this two or three times today, and I'm not ready for this.
The U.S. government has been infiltrated. Homeland Security has been infiltrated. The FBI has been infiltrated. The CIA has been infiltrated. We have a Muslim jihadist in the White House, Barack Hussein Obama, a jihadist. He's not incompetent, guys. He's very competent. He's an expert liar and deceiver. And he has deceived several hundred million people. He's deceived the people who support him, and he's deceived the people who oppose him. Think about that one. He has deceived the people who oppose him. And what you know what I mean by that?
You know, his message might be better received if somebody would just maybe pull back the game just a hair on his Mikey phone, but and it's all tax-free. But apparently they leave it up to Rick Wiles to engineer his own program, kind of like I do by dint of necessity. As it is, it sounds like he's speaking through a comb with wax paper over it into the microphone. Or perhaps through a kazoo. I'm trying to find a little humor in this somewhere, because... Oh, from the chat room, Arthur says, no wonder he can't afford a better microphone. The government's after him. That Muslim Obama. Yeah. So we're going to, but this isn't the worst part. This is the mild stuff. Jeremy in Vermont pointing out, well, hell yes, of course he's a deceiver. He's the Antichrist after all, Obama is. I, for one, welcome our insect overlords. It duct taped too. So thus far, we know that broadcasting live via Kazoo, Rick Wiles says that Obama is a Muslim deceiver. Yes, well, we're not there. We're not all the way there yet. Settle in.
Because most people who oppose Barack Hussein Obama cannot bring themselves to saying what I just said. He is a Muslim jihadist. They'll say he's politically correct. He's incompetent. He's
sympathetic.
No, he's a Muslim jihadist. He's bringing them into the country through Homeland Security. They're giving security clearances to people like Omar Mateef. And it's a lot worse. Because when this day of jihad comes, this day of jihad that I have been warning about, prophesying about for 18 years, when it arrives in this country, you, Mr. and Mrs. American citizens, are going to be shocked, horrified, terrified.
Muslimized! Because he's got his secret Kenyan Muslim usurper ray, and he'll just sweep across the country, and next thing you know, we'll all be a yelling Aloha Snack Bar.
Mm-hmm. When you find out how deeply penetrated the U.S. government has been by the Muslims,
these guys just can't help it, can they? The government's been deeply penetrated. Well, as A. Nani Mouse said putting the offering in the plate, praise be to the goddess of irony. Penetrated. Yep. Well, you know, we might be screwed. But see, it's people like this that are doing the screwing. Now. Brother Usher Steve in New York just sent me a one-line, no-text, subject-line-only email. I just ordered my aluminum softball bat. You're gonna upgrade to wooden Louisville Slugger here in a minute, Steve. I wouldn't press send just yet.
There will be blood in the streets. There will be no place to hide, including your house. There will be hand-to-hand combat in many cities.
This country will be brought to its knees.
Yes, and this is what I've been saying for...
Well, how else are we going to be penetrated if we're not brought to our knees, damn it? You know, I think this guy should have to do his program naked. Or, I'm sorry, naked. Naked, that is the state of having no clothing on. Naked is having no clothing on, being up to something, you know, dirty. Well, maybe it's naked after all. But no, he should have to do his program naked so that everybody could see that when he gets to the part where he talks about hand-to-hand combat and blood in the streets, that he gets one of them teeny tiny little stiffies with a little microphallus because he's a-looking forward to it, because that'll bring Jesus back. Quick question. Who is the head? The Archbishop of, I don't know, of the Episcopal Church in the United States. Who is the head of? Who's the number one top dog? Well, I guess let's just defer to Pope Frank on this one. So we got the Catholics covered. The maximum metropolitan of the. Of the Greek Orthodox Church. Okay, we'll need him. Hey, maybe the head of the Episcopal Church is a woman, so that would be cool. We'll be needing some the head of the Methodist Church, and we'll be needing the head of the Presbyterians and the Lutherans, and the Seventh-day Adventurers, and the Pentecostal Holiness, and the First Church of God and Christ types, and, well, hell, let's let the Mormons come, too. Because, and you've heard me say this before, but I reiterate this. This is not fringe Christianity. This is mainstream Christianity. I reiterate, Rick Wiles believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin named Mary, that Jesus Christ grew to adulthood and preached and was baptized by John the Baptist, that he was persecuted and that he was beaten and flogged and was crucified for our sins, and that on the third day he rose from the grave, wandered around for a couple of weeks, and then flew off in his holy rolls into heaven. Now, these are the basic things you have to believe in order to fly off to heaven yourself. Oh, fly away, oh glory. In order to be saved. In virtually any Christian faith tradition. He believes them all. That means he is part of the communion of the saints, as they call it. That means that he is doctrinally within the teaching of almost every Christian denomination out there. I want to be absolutely clear about this. So if we can get all those leaders together, wouldn't it be nice to play them a clip like this, or maybe Stephen What's-His-Dick's thing that's been removed by YouTube for violating their hate speech policy? And ask him, is this guy a Christian? There would be enough stammering and hemming and hawing to last a couple of weeks, brethren and sistren, because they wouldn't want to admit it, but he is. Pope Frank can't throw him out because he's not a Catholic. The Methodists can't do anything about him because he's not a Methodist. My money is on him being a Baptist when we get right down to it, because they are the most vociferously hateful Christian cult in America. But no Christian sect can do anything about people like Rick Wiles and others, Pat Robertson. Nobody can do anything about them because they, and this is a Christianity problem, you see. People like you, people like me who want nothing to do with them, we can't do anything about it. We just have to sit here and watch our civil society be deluged with the filth that pours out from these goddamn tax-exempt nightmares in the name of First Amendment freedom of religion. I think we're going to have to dig up Zombie Madison and Zombie Hamilton and Zombie John Jay and Zombie Washington and Zombie Franklin and zombie all the rest of them, and just play them a few clips of this shit. And ask them, boys, was this what you had in mind with the First Amendment? Now, you'll notice I didn't say anything about zombie Thomas Jefferson, because A, he wasn't part of the Constitutional Convention, and B, his answer would obviously be, oh no. At least based upon his writings. No, definitely not. Meanwhile, Scott in San Diego, and this is Punky approved, said, wait a sec, Brother Bob. I don't exactly see this Rick Wiles character being an ally of gay folks, so shouldn't the Orlando shooter be a natural ally of his, Given his attack at the Pulse, I think he may be just seconds away from a Faye Dunaway moment a la Chinatown. It's my daughter! It's my sister! It's my daughter! I think you're right. We ain't done with old Rick Wiles, though. But seriously. Okay, thank you. Thank you, News Ninja Gene. Catherine Jeffords Shorey is the leader of the Episcopal Church in the United States. And if there are any Christian sects that are actually operating in good faith and goodwill, it is way past time for them to say, no, no, this guy is not going to heaven under the rules. This guy is going to, something else is going to happen to him when he dies, but heaven ain't where he's going with the rest of the decent people. You know why they don't do that? Because they're afraid of the Rick Wileses of the world. They're afraid of the Pat Robertsons. Oh, we'll just go along and we'll have a little sip of wine, we'll eat our little magic cracker, and we'll try to pretend that they don't exist over there. Yeah, I understand. Barkway in the chat room says, we had to do the church thing and Sunday school until confirmation. After that, we were free to stay or go as we pleased. I laughed all the way past the pews and out the doors. See ya! And you know from whence I speak. Steve from Georgia Stan says, I got drug into that cult from the time I was 5 until I was 14. My late father finally stepped in and said enough of this nonsense. Haven't had the urge to go back since. But people like people these religion industry organizations, tax free, are part of, I'm not going to sit here and say they are exclusively why, but they are damn sure part of why we wind up with Orlando's and Sandy Hook's and Roseburg Oregon's. And every blessed time some gay or trans person, Q or QQ person, winds up being beaten within an inch of their lives or straight out killed in any town America, it's on these people. How can it not be? They preach for it. They yearn for it. They ache for it. Yeah.
For 18 years. God's been crying out to this nation, either voluntarily, humble yourself to your knees and call upon me to protect you, or continue in your rebellion and be brought to your knees by your enemies.
When did God do that? Now I do remember right after September the 11th, 2001, when Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell sat down in a confab and said that 19 hijackers, primarily from Saudi Arabia, flew planes into buildings because of gays, lesbians, and Norman Lear. I remember that. But I'm sorry, I'm going to require a little bit something more in the way of data. Hard data. Rather than the paranoid ravings of a tax-free maniac. But this clown broadcasts all over America. Oh, sorry, wrong Episcopal leader. News Ninja Gene has updated. It's Bishop Michael Curry. Same hat, different guy. We've been told to humble ourselves. The only people telling us, and by humble ourselves, they mean go out and kill gay people. Because I don't think you can get gay people back into the goddamn closet without hurting them. And Omar Mateen seems to be an object lesson that the closet is a very damn dangerous, sad and damn dangerous place. I'm kind of stumped here. How is it they want us to humble ourselves? By turning the reins of government over to them so that they can tell women that they have no recourse over the workings of their body, so that they can tell gay people to go back into the closet and be invisible, or better yet, maybe get some straight reparative therapy so that they can be miserable for the rest of their natural-born days? Yeah? Thereabouts? Because in the end, what these people want is power. Power. Not power for its own sake, but power to utilize over you and me. And they already have more than perhaps most of us realize. Because for starters, they have the power to pump this filth into our civil society, to pump this nightmare toxic waste into our government. They have the power to because no one will challenge them on it, to use their influence to try to take control of the reins of government, and they are so close to having complete control of the government, it would terrify you beyond words if you fully comprehended it.
But either way, America, you're going to your knees.
When we get to our knees in front of Rick Wiles, do we get to laugh? No, with that, really? Maybe dental floss.
I've said for years, America, if you continue to reject the mercy of the cross, you will live by the tyranny of the sword.
Right, because God is love, y'all. Convert or die. I thought that's what made them mad about Islam. Yeah, well, you know, you can become a Muslim, or you can be put to the sword. But I think he just said the same thing exists in Christianity. I'll be dipped.
And that's what's happening right now. I feel sorry for these gay and lesbian men and women that died Sunday morning. My heart breaks for them.
I wonder why. He feels sorry for the gay and lesbian men and women who died Sunday morning. His heart breaks for them. Is he going to tell us? Is he going to tell us?
I have no ill will against any gay or lesbian. Let me tell you, gays and lesbians listening to us, the Christians would never do this to you.
No.
We would never do such things to you.
Except for your brother Christian, who says that he wants the government to utilize the full force of its constitutional power to execute people for being gay and lesbian, LGBTQ, QQ. Yep, there we go. There we go. Thank you, Devin. Power, power, Wunderwerken power. Yeah. Oh, but Christians would never do that, even though they desperately want to, even though they admit that they want to. Even though Rick Wiles himself has just said that we've got to abase ourselves before his God, who does not approve of homosexuality. As Barkway points out in the chat room, yeah, look at the power they have. They have their own schools. They have their own law schools. They have their own business networks. They have their own television networks. And the people who would oppose them do things like trying to raise $200 a night to be able to keep on taking them to task. Yep, there's relevant history. Steve from Georgistan pointing out, these asshats convinced the congregation to smash their Apple Beatles 45s and their Elvis 45 Sun records. They'd be worth a fortune now. And Hoghead says, and yet they're the persecuted ones. Mm-hmm. But he means nothing against no gay people.
I have no ill will against any gay or lesbian. Let me tell you, gays and lesbians listening to us, The Christians would never do this to you.
No.
We would never do such things to you.
As Sister Carol Baker points out, who's this we he's talking about? Has he got a turd in his pocket? Well, probably so. You don't want to know where this guy winds up on a late Saturday night.
That Muslim did.
We would never do the things to you that Muslim did. Consider, even though I've interrupted it periodically, consider the arc of this clip. This man really does want a war between Christianity and Islam. He really does. He wants it, and yet he has no... And he feels quite certain, you know, because we got the nuclear weapons, right? He feels quite certain he knows the outcome because, I mean, after all, what is it, Revelations or 3 Peter or 4 Johnson, where it says, and their eyes shall melt in their sockets and their tongues shall rot in their mouths. You know, that's radiation sickness. That's what I was taught, according to Hal Lindsey's late great Planet Earth back in the 70s. That's all that is. It's a big prediction. That's Nostradamus. Pointing the way toward a nuclear holocaust, which is what makes Jesus come back. Mm-hmm. And you know, he proves his ignorance because mass human die-offs have dire consequences. I mean, look at the effects of the pre-industrial Black Plague as it went from Asia across Asia into the Middle East and up through Europe. 30-60% of the population was wiped out. At that point in time, you cannot maintain civil society structures. I keep talking about civil society. How about that? And in the case of the Black Death, it ushered in, to a large extent, the Renaissance. Because it empowered people who had up till then been somebody else's property, you know, feudal vassals. Well, the ones that were left and had the talents who could do things like woodwork or grow food or raise animals or build houses, they suddenly had a worth that no liege lord could compel. But he has no idea about that. He has no idea what would happen in an industrial era great die-off. He just knows he wants one. Real bad.
We hate your sin, but we don't hate you. And the Christians, had there been any Christian man on the street Sunday morning, they would have risked their lives to save you and protect you.
You fucking asshole. Sorry. You know what? Very likely, there were Christians among the victims. But you'll notice he says, we don't hate you, we hate your sin, but we don't hate you. Well, see, he defines sin as the very essence of how the people who were mown down in a torrent of Second Amendment freedom, he defines them only by what he calls their sin. He cannot admit of the possibility that perhaps there was a Christian among them. And no, a Christian would not have done a goddamn thing other than die in that hellscape in Orlando. Anybody else lose the stream? Just got a note from Sister Carol Baker that she'd been smited by the Lord. Struck down! I show we're still streaming nicely. But that's just one. God. How about that? His God. His vengeful, bloodthirsty God who loves humanity. Was responsible for the massacre in Orlando. Sweet Jesus. But just in case you were wondering, it is not entirely the gay people that he's worried about, or that he feels like he has to deal with. No. Because you know that Muslim, right? Remember that? Yeah. Well, he's got something he wants to do with them, too.
The left is calling for gun control.
Right.
And what we need is Muslim control. We don't need to confiscate guns. We need to confiscate Muslims. You're not going to solve this problem until you round up the Muslims and ship them out of this country.
Does that give you chills? Or do you just say, well, this guy's just a nut? I mean, granted, there's all kinds of God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals that listen to him. But he's a nut. I mean, he doesn't really have any real bullshit. He doesn't have power. If he's saying it, he's saying it because someone has told him to say it. He's saying it because there's a power structure that insists that he says it. And it's terrifying. Because in continuing to ignore the root causes of our problems, one of which is Rick Wiles and the evangelical fundamentalist homosexuals, otherwise known as the Dominionists and the Reconstructionists. And he sounds like a straight-up Reconstructionist. Dangerous. Dangerous. We've got to have Muslim control. Did you hear him say we've got to round up all the Muslims? If you were an American, a Muslim American, and you heard that, would it not chill you to the very core of your being? And you know, while we're at it, if you're Jewish and you hear that, does that not chill you to the core of your very being? I'm a recovering Southern Baptist. I want nothing to do with this two-legged filth. And statements like that chill me to the core of my very being. Because anyone who will say they want to do it will eventually try to find a way to accomplish it. Oh, there's more of this. Oh, yeah. Note coming in from one of the Trinity of Steves. Subject line, Big Box Church. Seems most of us here of like mind were given the option to leave whatever remnant of organized religion might have been part of our upbringing far behind. Wisdom of the fathers, perhaps. But my query, how big is a congregation, anyway? A room big enough to fit a few faithful in? The size of a nation? An entire planet? It is the nature of a world in immediate communication and of political organization to create such beasts. But civilization? Whereat civilization? Whereat indeed. And Brother Usher, Steve, in New York. His type of Christian would never do this. His type of Christian did, however, support a war in Iraq that killed upwards of 1 million and possibly as many as 2 million innocent civilians. Bob in Texas says, Christians do not hate you, but we fight against your every right. Economic rights, social rights, civil rights. But we don't hate you. We hate your sin. But we're going to fight against you. Mm-hmm. Adding to the list, every Japanese American, Marty says, should be chilled to the bone by that man when he says, we've got to have Muslim control. We've got to round up the Muslims. Subject line, liberal Christians, coming from Tim from L.A. We're critical of the right-wing amosexual fundamentalists and hold them responsible for what's happening. But those on the left, the liberal Christians who abhor violence, are part of the problem too. I know that you have Christian listeners, but I have a quote from Bishop Desmond Tutu. If you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. If an elephant has its foot on the tail of a mouse, and you say that you are neutral, the mouse will not appreciate your neutrality. They, too, the liberal Christians, are responsible for not speaking up or doing something to end this. Their silence is a license to allow violence to happen from their fucked-up so-called outlier family in the kingdom of their God. And that is precisely my point, Tim. You and I cannot fix Christianity's problem, but Christianity has a giant problem that Christianity refuses to fix. We need, like, another Council of Nicaea or something. Let's see, where were we? Oh, yeah, Muslim control. Round up the Muslims.
End of discussion. Outlaw Islam. Make it an illegal religion. Don't tell me it can't be done. Pass a constitutional amendment that says we're a Christian nation and Islam is illegal.
Any questions? That's a fascist, sunshine. Pass a constitutional amendment saying that Islam is illegal and we are a Christian nation. What does that make you and me, who don't believe in his bloodthirsty God? I guess we're beyond the pale, too. I guess you and I get rounded up, too. Well, I mean, they'll give us a chance to confess Christ. But if we don't, nah, we're going to go over there and hang out with the folks hollering Aloha Snack Bar. And the Jews. And the gays. And the trans people. And the women who insist on having their own bodily integrity. Everybody but them. But they're in turn going to need someone to run their country for them. So guess who's going to do that? Us. In bond servitude.
Done. Get rid of it. Stamp it out before it destroys civilization. This is about survival. And the left is giving...
Time out, Jack, okay? Time out, okay? Help me here. Destroy civilization. It was a Christian country that dropped those two atomic weapons on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, was it not? It weren't the Muslims. Conveniently forgotten in all of this, I'm sure.
Giving cover to the very murderers that are going to kill the left. And we've said this for years. Are you people on the left so stupid that you don't realize that the Muslims will kill you someday? And you'll see banners of the left stamp out Islamophobia.
Yes. Well, I think it speaks to the utter lunacy of the left. Some of their academics are even claiming they need the Muslims to repopulate the country.
Well, and now, of course...
Yes, because the gays can't do it.
Right.
Now, of course, they're saying that this isn't terror-related. This isn't related to Islam.
This is all about mental illness. Well, and partially they're correct, because anybody that is a practicing Muslim is mentally ill.
I wonder what it sounded like in the original German. I don't wonder at all. Because all you got to do is get on YouTube and you can find out. Anyone who is a Muslim is mentally ill. Marty says, got here late. Who are these Nazis? Marty, this is Rick Wiles of True News, and it's all tax-free. Yeah. All right, a little more.
So in that sense, it is correct. But I know what you're saying, Doc. They're trying. The media has spent the day saying this is about mental illness and guns in the hands of mentally ill people. No, it's about Muslims. It's about Islam. It's about allowing Islamic jihadists to roam free in this country with the support of certain people in the U.S. government, including the FBI, the CIA, and Homeland Security, and the White House. And I hope and pray that the good people in those agencies, the patriots, wake up and realize that your agency has been infiltrated by enemies of this country. You know who you are, too. And we're all going to die, Doc. All of us. Gay and straight, left and right, Republican and Democrat. We're all going to die if we don't get this stopped really soon. This is about the survival of the nation.
You got that? Yeah. Well, 3 minutes past the hour. That's the filibobster, that's the lesson. Here endeth the lesson. Not really. I got lots more stuff. Lots and lots of hate. Because hate is what Christianity, this particular undenounced version of Christianity, does best. But let's take a break, and I tell you what, given the gravity of what's going on here, we'll send the deacons back out to pass the plate around one more time, see if we can round up that last $85. You will notice that the little communion cups that usually have wine in them now have extra strength, heavy-duty Mylanta. Take a shooter, hope for the best, nice little belt of Mylanta, and we'll come back and do some more of this God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, et cetera. Yeah, I know. Apparently, it's kind of tough when the light goes on. Jeremy in Vermont says, okay, wait, this fucktard just called for open insurrection, and yet gays and Muslims are the problems? Precisely. You know, by the way, a little shout-out before we go to the music. It is. It was 20 years ago today that Karen agreed to marry Steve from Georgistan. Good on you, Karen. And good on you, Steve. 20 years. 20 years today. As Steve says, 20 years she's put up with my shenanigans. Happy anniversary to you both. Very, very much. from the whole Horn Family Community Congregation. This is listener-supported Conversation Radio. This is The Horn. Lines are open, by the way. Jump right in. You know the numbers, I trust.
Alabama Jesus don't come from Galilee. Alabama Jesus, he looks like General Lee. He ain't got no hook nose. He damn sure ain't Hebrew. If you ain't from around here, honey, he won't do dick for you. Alabama Jesus likes his niggers on the run. Alabama Jesus, run off those Indians. Yes, them folks cleared the land, all part of Jesus' plan. Get that money in the hand of the Alabama clan. Well, he said, keep all you have and screw the poor. Take that money that you're making and make it make some more. There'll be a church on every corner till the number is obscene. I love those Bama biddies. They're so pious and so mean. Alabama Jesus, it's about your pedigree. Alabama Jesus, sure looks that way to me. The proud forget the ignorant, and they've awfully proud to be. They dig for brains, but they love their Lord, and they love their family tree. Alabama Jesus, well, he prays at the ball game. Alabama Jesus was sticking me in the shame. He don't cotton to evolution, high IQs or humanist. He likes them big and beefy, dull-eyed and questionless. Well, if your preacher gets too liberal talking about that humankind, just drag him out the pulpit, toss him out on his behind. Don't back those local charities like the cursed liberals do. Just judge and moralize and serve your time down in the pew. Keep those tithes a coming upwards over 10%. When you make good money, that's a lot of Bible sense. Serving in the third world, you'll never see or know. Now it's the parasites cross town sleeping on Skid Row. And those people in third world kiddies, when they get hungry, they can pray to Alabama Jesus 10,000 miles away. Folks thank their Jesus for white supremacy. The black folks ask their Jesus to make them bourgeoisie. But Jesus knows the danger of a real democracy. So he privatized the education, which served to bring back segregation. Now he Ten Commandments in a courtroom and was schooled about creation. In 4004 B.C., the first white man ate some fruit from the tree. And then he moved to Northern Europe to denounce the papacy. Although he likes the Pope's ideas concerning pregnancy. Come to Alabama. Come to Alabama. Say, man. Say, man. Say, man. It ain't the heat. It ain't the heat. It ain't the heat. It ain't the heat. It's the stupidity. It's the stupidity. It's the stupidity. It's the stupidity.
that, by God, is a friend from way, a friend of the horn, a member of the community from way, way, way back. That's Burns Lawler and Alabama Jesus. You want to talk about a line that'll stick in your head? It's not the heat. It's the stupidity. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. 10 minutes past the hour. Everybody got their Mylanta shots. The plate came back empty, so we've still got $85 to go on fundraising this evening. And as usual, you know, bills out there to pay. God almighty. This is a real... Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone lines are open. The stress line is, of course, 304-663-4676. That's 304-663-HORN. And the other line is 304-574-8178. 304-574-8178. And Skype to Skype from anywhere on planet Earth that they'll allow you to do it. Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. Bob Kincaid Horn. So that's all open if you want to get involved in the conversation. There's not many cathedrals that allow people to stand up and engage in dialogue from out in the pews. That's why this isn't a church. I mean, yeah. Don't challenge authority in a real religion. No. Let's see. Because we got more. It's not like it's just Rick Wiles. Oh, hell no. Theodore Shobot. We've dealt with this creep in the past. He hates gays so much that you can feel pretty confident that the interior of his mind is wallpapered with beefcake photos of, you know, naked guys. And I do mean naked, not naked. He wanted to offer up a clarification on the Orlando massacre. And it's along the same lines as what Pastor Stephen Hoosie's Dick out in Arizona offered. Because, Theodore Shobot, son of Waleed Shobot, while he approves, as a Christian, of slaughtering lots of gay people, he's concerned with the methodology, brethren and sistren.
God is not in favor of these sodomites. God is not in favor of these sodomite clubs in the United States. It's absolutely evil. As far as I'm concerned, this Muslim guy going into the nightclub and killing 50 people, 50 of these sodomites, to me, it's just devil killing devil. Islam is a theological aberration. Homosexuality is another aberration. One follower of a particular aberration killing another follower of another aberration. Mutant killing mutant, devil killing devil. That's what this is about. Muslims kill each other all the time. Sodomites kill each other all the time. Happens a lot.
Straight people kill gay people all the time. Sometimes 49 at a pop. Or people who want to be perceived as, you know, straight, but are instead deeply in the closet. And, you know, sometimes people get on YouTube and make videos calling gay people sodomites, when the whole time, all in the world they want is a man in their mouth. Wherever you are, Bart Cop, someday there'll be royalties. He's a Christian, by the way, just in case you're wondering. Mutants. Gay people are mutants. Have you upgraded to that full-on Hickory Louisville Slugger yet there, Steve? Usher Steve in New York, have you done that? Yeah, I don't play these clips to hurt anybody. I don't want to trigger anything. But one of the fundamental problems that we have is the inability to fully define not only the nature, but the source of the problem. Now, over the weekend, for instance, I posted a little essay over on Facebook. It got quite a good number of views, a lot of responses. Many of you saw it. Some of you did not. You know the upshot of most of it, but I closed it saying, we are a nation under attack. The problem is that we are blinded to the identity of the aggressors. We have been blind for decades. Being blind, we are helpless. And at the time that I wrote it, I was thinking about how newborn puppies and kittens and newborn just about everything are pretty much unable to see. You know, how long does it take before a kitten's or a puppy's eyes open? But it makes us helpless. And it makes us easily victimized. And we talk around problems like this. We talk around it. We talk about everything but the root of the problem. And by my lights, one of the roots of the problem is that we are a nation that is subsumed in hatred, that is sanctified, if you will, by the First Amendment. Oh, by the way, you might find this interesting. I caught some hell for that paragraph. We are blinded to the identity of the aggressors. We have been blind for decades, and being blind, we are helpless. We have a lot of sight-challenged, visually impaired members of the Horn Family Community Congregation. I was told in no uncertain terms earlier today that I needed to edit that out. That I was being ableist for using that metaphor. I said I really don't see another way to write that without completely losing the meaning of it. And I was called, everything but a human being. So I would like your input, especially by people who are differently abled, who might have issues relating to sight. Is that mean-spirited? Is it wrong to use the word blind within that context, talking about a nation that is unable to see the problem that is before it, that has been unable for decades to see that problem? Shoot me an email, or you can raise it in conversation, however you want to do it. I tend to think that this person was probably just an asshole, but you know, whatever. But the essential problem lies in not being able to clearly state the nature of the problem. If you can't state what your problem is, you're going to have a damned hard time solving it. There was a really, really good example of that earlier today. There was a rather inspiring little filibuster on the floor of the Senate. Chris Murphy from Connecticut, Senator Warren, Senator Franken, Senator Merkley, Senator Wyden, Senator Blumenthal. A number of people participated in it. I watched it for a while, and I appreciate the effort that was being put forward. But once again, they talked around the problem. They wouldn't say who was creating the problem. They would not name the devil they were trying to cast out. Now, maybe they didn't have to. You can tell me. Maybe this was just strategic. Maybe I just missed the part where they said National Rifle Association. Maybe I missed the part where they pointed out that the only reason we can't have any meaningful reform of gun laws in this country is because of the fact that the National Rifle Association is legally permitted to buy off a significant number, rising to the level of a majority, of both houses of the United States Congress. And it seems like until we publicly shame people like my senator, Shelley Moore Capito, who always has her hand out to the NRA for some fast cash, we're gonna continue to have this problem. Now, here on this program, I don't have, and I don't think you have, any problem pointing out that the beating heart and soul of this problem is the National Rifle Association. The United States has a bribery problem, and one of our chief bribers is the National Rifle Association, and a whole lot of members of the United States Congress are in on accepting those bribes. No, they are not technically bribes, because we have created a tissue paper thin veil of legality that allows them to take the bribes. Just like it allows them to take oil industry money or coal industry money or religion industry money. But there is no getting around that problem. The other side of that poisonous coin is, of course, the state-sanctioned hate. And it is. It's state-sanctioned by saying that people like Theodore Chabot or Pastor Stephen Microphallus out in Arizona get to pump their hatred into the body politic. That is government sanction of those words. And in many ways, the Second Amendment, which I think we all agree is ill-suited to modern weaponry, the Second Amendment and the First Amendment have a common problem. They have not kept up with the times. Do you really, because I said this earlier, do you really think the framers of the Bill of Rights would have approved of one religious sect celebrating the murders of a group of people they don't like? I don't have an answer to that. I don't have a historical. You'd like to say, of course not, but then again, how many instances can we find in history, in American history, where there were such celebrations? Back to Theodore Chabot for a moment.
So a Muslim kills a sodomite, now all of a sudden it's an international crisis. Sodomite kills a sodomite, well, that's just normal. That's what they do anyway. But if a Muslim kills a sodomite, all of a sudden it's homophobia. All of a sudden the propaganda comes out to go against Christians, to go against Christianity. The sodomites are criminals. You think these bastards in this nightclub were innocent people? They were not innocent people. Our hearts and prayers go out to them. Why would you pray for the sodomite agenda? The sodomites who were killed in this club were not innocent people. They were not good people. They were not people who were just victims who we should just feel sorry for. It was scum killing scum.
You got that? It was scum killing scum. And he, Theodore Chabot, full up to his floating fucking eyeballs with hate, he's the victim. He did everything short of saying they had it coming. Well, wait a minute. He kind of does say they had it coming. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse. But what does it take to get us, and I mean, you know, beyond our little community here, how do we provide ourselves the necessary information with which to conclusively prove the vile, hateful, disgusting nature of people like Theodore Chabot? And yes, every Christian who does not condemn it and who does not say he ain't going through the pearlies, he's not a Christian. Because there is the nub of the problem. There's the pea under the mattress. P-E-A, damn it. For so long as Christians of goodwill say, well, you know, I mean, that's hateful, but, you know, he can be forgiven. Then Christianity will continue to be the problem.
Bible does say that sodomites are to be put to death. That is what the Bible says in both the Old Testament. That's what it says in the New Testament. The Bible says it. Christianity says it. The church says it. Christendom says it.
Christendom. You know, the folks who went to war with Islam back in the Crusades, Christendom. And yet, you know, there are people, that some of them have been on this show, who say that, no, the Bible doesn't say that. People want the Bible to say that, but it doesn't say that.
Of course, I don't believe in vigilantism. Write that one down. Theodore Chabot does not believe in vigilantism. I don't believe in taking out a gun and killing people at random. For some reason, people keep saying that, and I've said this 100 times, I don't believe in vigilantism.
He doesn't believe in killing people at random. On the other hand, the people in the Orlando nightclub were not killed at random. They were killed purposefully. We know, for instance, that that Omar Mateen, when people were laying shot on the ground, went around making sure they were not just shot, but that he had shot them dead. He doesn't approve of that. No. I mean, it's not like it really bummed him out or anything, because he's already told us it was just scum killing scum. So he kind of approves of it, but he doesn't approve of it. No contradiction there.
But I do believe in the government killing the sodomites. I do believe in the government arresting the sodomites and executing them for homosexuality.
And if he could get the government to do that, he would apply for a job as executioner.
Under my rule, that sodomite club in Orlando, it would have been destroyed. It would have been demolished, bulldozed, and all the bastards in there would have been arrested, tried, found guilty for homosexuality, and executed. Bottom line.
So, what's the damn difference? P.S. They took they took Pastor Stephen Tiny Johnson's hate-filled rant off of YouTube. Why is this still up? Well, I'm kind of glad. I guess I'm glad that it is, because they don't get to hide. They record themselves saying this stuff, and they don't get to hide. Wow, well, yeah, I mean, you just misunderstand. Yeah, Carol, you're right. He might as well say, what were they wearing? They are asking for it. And Sister Carol says, fucktard.
Now, what this guy did was vigilantism. And vigilantism, the citizen doesn't have the authority to be a vigilante. That's the state's job to kill the sodomites.
As Lottie notes in the chat room, can't you just feel the love of Jesus? Yeah. Meanwhile, Brother Usher Steve in New York says, bring back the lions! So many Christians. So few lions. Hey, thanks very kindly, Steve from Georgistan. We now have only $75 to go in fundraising this evening. Thank you very, very, very much. And yes, there's more. Let's check in with former liquor supply officer Marion Robertson, shall we?
One more time, I want to mention the fact that this is a religious belief. It is deeply ingrained in the people. And for when our president refuses to acknowledge it, when the Secretary of State, now the Democratic nominee for president, refuses to acknowledge and says that this is a slur against a, quote, great religion, this is nonsense. This is what this great religion teaches. And it's right in the warp and woof of Islam. So.
Oh, well, that's nice, the warp and the woof. I mean, yeah. A weaving metaphor. Lovely. But, anybody want to put a wager on whether or not former liquor supply officer Robertson has ever even read the Quran? I mean, I have. Pretty sure Marion here hasn't. Marion? No, I'm almost certain. Because he doesn't need to. Because all he has is his bigotry. His bigotry drives all of this. Now, this is not a defense of Islam. Because I want nothing to do with any of the Abrahamic religions. They have been the greatest source of misery ever unleashed upon planet Earth. And then you can say the same about a lot of organized religion. Hindus have killed Hindus. Christians have killed Christians. But, beyond the Abrahamic religions, there's been plenty of blood and death. So I don't want to be a part of any organized religion. I prefer to live in a world that is bounded by reality. But I also freely acknowledge the right of anyone, as do you, I'm sure, the right of anyone to believe as they see fit. If you can't get through life without an invisible friend, that's okay. It's not okay when you try to make the rest of us believe in your invisible friend, or argue that somebody else should be rounded up and put in a camp and eventually executed for having a different understanding. Because in the Abrahamic religions, we're not talking about a different invisible friend. We're talking about the same invisible friend called by different names. And it's not okay if you want to kill anybody because of the way they understand their invisible friend. I find a tremendous difference in, say, an organized religion like Christianity, like the three Abrahamic religions. I find a tremendous difference between that and, say, some animism that says that essentially the whole planet is alive, and that there are and that places and things have spirits or essences or natures. I mean, I still can't get over that article that I read a couple of years ago, I guess now, that talked about how in a forest, trees, you know, what was it, in the late 60s, the early 70s, people started talking about, you know, we can talk to our plants and plants respond to being talked to. Well, there is some indication now, because I'm pretty sure it wasn't an Onion article, there's some indication now that inside a forest, the dirt of the forest is filled with the roots of living, growing things. And that those root systems actually behave in somewhat a way somewhat similar to our understanding of neural pathways inside animal species. And that the whole forest is not only alive, but communicating. And so when an indigenous culture or a tribal culture says that they reverence the spirit of the forest or the spirit of the bear, it's highly unlikely that they're going to want to round up and kill everybody who doesn't think about it the way they do. And it makes for a wildly different way of understanding. Ron, in the I'm not sure quite exactly what it's like right now, North, says, I'm not aware of any major bloodletting conducted by Buddhist monks. And when's the last time you heard of Hare Krishna aficionados going on a bloody rampage? True enough. But Hindu has slaughtered Hindu. And Buddhists have done their own fair share of killing as well. But not on anything approaching the scale that the three Abrahamic religions have done. Mm-mm. No, not by a long shot. Thank you. Thank you very kindly to Charlene. Charlene just took us down to $50 to go, fundraising for the evening, here at 21 minutes before the third hour of the program. And Brother Usher Steve has put a $10 challenge on the table. If somebody else will kick in a 10, he'll kick in a 10 to go with it. And that'll take us down to $30 to go, which will be awesome. So thank you. Thank you, Brother Usher Steve. Back to former liquor supply officer Robertson.
Whether you like it or not, that's the way it is. So the left is having a dilemma of major proportions, and I think for...
I wish they'd send me these goddamn left memos, because I didn't know we were having a dilemma, major or minor. I don't feel any dilemma. I don't feel any urge to slaughter Muslims, and I damn sure don't feel any urge to hurt gay people, or any of the permutations thereof, or trans people, or, you know, people who feel kind of asexual about it. I don't feel any urge to slaughter Catholics. I don't even want to slaughter Theodore Shoebot or liquor supply officer Robertson here. I want to spend the remaining time on this little blue-green marble, this little time machine hurtling in a sort of helical spiral through the universe in peace and harmony and happiness. And, you know, last I checked, I'm part of the left. Never get the memo. That's okay. I don't feel too bad. For years and years and years, Peter Godbold kept saying he wished somebody would provide him a copy of the Gay Agenda. I don't think he's gotten one yet.
Those of us who, disagree with some of their policies, the best thing to do is to sit on the sidelines and let them kill themselves.
Don't you just love the sort of, the blithe way that he says, well, we should just sit on the sidelines and let them kill themselves. But see, the LGBTQQQ community isn't killing anybody. Or trying. And while there are some thugs who have quietly gone about the business of leveraging a few verses out of the Quran to try to take power in Syria and Iraq or Nigeria or the Arabian Peninsula, et cetera, et cetera. They don't have, the religion is just a cover. The desire is for untrammeled power. Interesting. Hoghead in the chat room says that's what Charlie Manson was going to do, right? Get the war started and then go hide and watch? Yeah, come to think of it. So, former liquor supply officer Robertson wants to just let them kill each other. One wonders if there's popcorn involved or cackling.
Well, the backstory that I think you need to focus on today, ladies and gentlemen, is the dilemma of the liberals, the so-called progressives, because they have two favored groups. One, the Muslims. Number two, the homosexuals. And suddenly they're finding that the Muslims, in 10 Muslim nations, there is a death penalty for practicing homosexuality.
Is there a death penalty for getting it right? Sorry, bad joke. I apologize. But the premise of his statement is bullshit.
Two favored groups. One, the Muslims. Number two, the homosexuals.
See, former liquor supply officer Robertson lives in a zero-sum world. Now, this guy is no more a member of the left than, say, Count Dicula Cini is. And yet he feels privileged to declare who the left, what left, favors or prefers. Go figure. So, in essence, he's setting up a straw man and then just knocking the snot out of it. The so-called left, otherwise known as decent human beings, the decent human beings in this country don't favor gays or Muslims. The decent human beings in this country simply hold to the notion that everybody's pretty much free to be who they are within the boundaries of the legal structure of the country. Earther points out, oh, he's smart. I can't stand the cognitive dissonance. So are our favorite Muslims the bad guys here? It can't be. What a dilemma. Right. It goes on and on and on like this. They've got the death penalty for gays in 10 Muslim countries. And that proves what? That we're not those countries? Or does it prove, Marion, that we've got Christians, because I've just presented evidence of it, who want that same death penalty for gay people in the United States, and yet somehow or another, they do it without being Muslim. In point of fact, they do it under the guise of Christianity. What do you got to say about that, Marion?
And suddenly they're finding that the Muslims in 10 Muslim nations, there is a death penalty for practicing homosexuality. And as I believe reading a column by Hirsi Ali, there are about 40 pro-Muslim countries where homosexuality is somehow against the law. So we're looking at a favored group by the left, the homosexuals, and that in Islam is punishable by death or imprisonment or some sanction. So what are the left going to do? How are they going to describe it? And they don't know quite what to do now. But the fact that this Islamic gentleman opens fire in a gay nightclub and kills almost 50 homosexuals, that says something. And it tells the fact that Islam is against homosexuality. So the liberals are going to be scrambling to find some rationale. I think they're going to have a hard time doing it.
You don't get much more liberal than me. And I got to tell you, I haven't scrambled so much as a goddamn egg since Saturday night. I'm not having any problems here. Because I understand the nature of the problem. You know what? Omar Mateen could have been the Grand Mufti of what the fuckistan. But if he couldn't get his hands on those goddamn guns, the most he could have done is stand outside and hoot and holler about the homos. Or maybe wander inside and hoot and holler until somebody carried him out and put him back on. Or maybe he would have had a knife, or a scimitar, or an assegai. Actually, it was only a razor. But you get my idea. Access, easy access to weapons of warfare. And by the way, when did they become mass shootings and not mass murders? I noticed that in the last couple of days. Yes, more people were shot than there were people who were shot who were not murdered. But is it because we want to make sure that the people who were shot but not murdered feel included? That now inside the language we've prettied it up and taken maybe some of the horror out of it? Well, you know, there was a mass shooting in Orlando. Not a mass murder. Goddamn, how many people have to be murdered before it's a mass murder? Apparently 49 won't get it. In Vermont, Jeremy says, all three of these fuckheads are also sexually repressed. You can't not hear it in their voices and the fantasy land they wish they didn't live in. God, no, I mean, that's fair, Jeremy. You know, maybe if once in their life they could just feel love the way that they are wired to feel love. Sister Carol Baker pointing out, if I have a choice between American Muslims and the homosexuals or the Christians, I'll take the American Muslims and the homosexuals. They can both pee next to me. I'm sick of their, I'm so sad for those six sodomites who were murdered because I wanted to do it too. No. I'm way low into my guts with that stuff, Carol, because that's exactly what it is. These right wing pus bags, these skin bags full of pus, like Robertson and Shubat and Rick Wiles and ever so many more of them are just trapped in a world of cognitive dissonance, because on the one hand, something that really gets them good and hard and ready to go and we'll wash it real fast, Pat, i.e. a bunch of homosexuals being killed, I mean, they love it. But by the same token, a guy that was a Muslim did it. So, we like it, but we don't like that. Hey, what if we say it's a terrorist attack on Merca and then get around to talking about how the homos had it coming later? Yeah, just a little bit more, and then I'm going to the phones. We got one line open. The stress line's open, 304-663-4676. I'm going over to the Skype line in just a minute.
In the meantime, Donald Trump is riding high because he said we should screen these people, and he's absolutely right. We should screen them. And so the left is saying, oh, you're anti-Muslim.
No, dumbass, we're asking how do you screen somebody in the goddamn neonatal ward of a hospital in fucking Queens? That's what we're asking. Because that's where Omar Mateen was born. The same place as Donald Trump. Should Donald Trump have been screened when he was born? Oh, wait. Screen. There hasn't been an attack in this country by a Syrian refugee. Transference much, Francis? Or Marion?
You're racist and all this. Suddenly, that part of it, the narrative, doesn't play too well. And they're stuck as to what to do. But Trump is enjoying a victory. And if more of these things happen, every time it does, the president failed to work in Libya. He said the Assad regime had to go. He didn't do it. He drew a red line. He didn't abide by that. He let Libya go into chaos. He was going to, quote, lead from behind.
Time out, damn it. Barack Obama's Joint Chiefs of Staff, his Secretary of Defense, Barack Obama himself did not want to do the Libya thing. But Hillary Clinton was over there desperate to get her war on so that she wouldn't be painted as some sort of sissy liberal when she ran for president. That's how that happened, Marion. God damn it.
He has not taken a lead in dealing with ISIS, which he said, well, the threat of today, the JV team, the threat of extreme Islam is gone. And because the world won't fit his narrative, he just is going to stay with the narrative. And I saw a column of a man named Brett Stevens who talked about...
Shut up. You notice he goes through all of that without ever questioning whether or not ISIS is even our fight? I mean, granted... if you use the apocryphal Pottery Barn rule that Colin Powell trotted out a few years back, then yes, it is our fight because we broke it, we buy it. But Colin Powell didn't even say that, or Pottery Barn doesn't have that rule. I don't know. But if you break something at Pottery Barn, you have to pay for it. But you don't then get to try to put it back together again because obviously you've already screwed it up. And that's what we're trying to do. Jesus, Marion has completely forgotten the existence of George W. Bush. Marion apparently doesn't know, in the name of Jesus, that the leadership structure of ISIS-ISIL is almost entirely comprised of former high-ranking members of the Iraqi military that we fired as soon as we moved in and occupied. You take a bunch of colonels and generals and whatnot, and put them out of work when they were used to a certain level of lifestyle, they're going to go find somewhere to general and colonel some more. Jeremy with a question. And for fuck's sake, can we all agree this punk-ass shooter wasn't a terrorist in the name of ISIS? It was his way to cover his own self-hate and guilt instilled upon him. Oh, yeah, that's the bottom line. He toward the end, after he'd done what he did, he calls in and he says, yeah, I'm doing this in the name of Hezbollah, ISIS. Aloha, snack bar. And suddenly, oh, terrorism. Never realizing that Omar Mateen didn't want his daddy thinking of him later as that homosexual son of mine, but instead would far prefer to think of him as a freedom fighter. Yeah. Hey, let's go over to the Skype line and talk to Will in Chicago, whom I have made wait entirely too long. Hey, Will.
I have learned the virtue of patience. It's been a rough week since the shooting in Orlando, made worse today by finding out that my Aunt Marlene passed. And let's say my Aunt Marlene would likely refer to Pat Robertson as an intolerant idiot who's a disgrace to his profession. But
would the word Meshuggah enter into it somewhere, perhaps along the way?
Yes, but I mean, he is beyond Meshuggah. He is beyond Meshuggah. If you think of Meshuggah as a paper airplane, he has bypassed that by going into advanced warp drive.
Yeah, and I mean, so that's the Yiddish word for like crazy, right?
Yes.
But it can be just kind of benignly crazy. Is there a Yiddish word for dangerously insane? Dangerously criminally insane?
That I'd have to check because my Yiddish isn't that good because my mom didn't grow up with it, so I didn't. But I believe we should give Pat Robertson and the other so-called clergy we heard all the credibility they deserve, which is about the same level of credibility as I would give a caller to Coast to Coast AM who said that he was abducted by gray aliens, teleported aboard their spacecraft, saw a menage a trois involving Bill Coulter, Bill O'Reilly, and Coulter, and a Sasquatch, while the gray alien commander of the ship did some breakdancing, smoked some unknown substance in a hookah, all while wearing a Mickey Mouse cap with the word Illuminati printed on it, meaning none. The majority, I have worked with Jews, Christians, Muslims, Buddhists, atheists, agnostics, Wiccans, and any number of people of faith. And most are decent. But I think the problem with any faith or political movement comes with the realm of the fundamentalist, the fanatic. Because here is the problem. In the eyes of a fundamentalist, ultra-Orthodox Jew, I'm not really a Jew, and neither is my rabbi. In the case of Pat Robertson, I don't think he considers Dr. C. Weldon Gaddy, who hosts a program called State of Belief, as a Christian. And similarly, the people in ISIL would not consider some of the people who are identifying themselves as Muslims or imams as true Muslims. This is a problem when you have a zealot. If you remember your history, the zealots made peace pretty much impossible in the siege of Jerusalem, and what they ended up doing is getting the Second Temple burned, thousands upon thousands killed, and the Roman army, being the Roman army, practiced a great deal of rape, which is why the rabbis, which came after the fall of the Second Temple, ruled that a Jewish child born to a Jewish mother is accepted as a member of the Jewish community.
Well, I was kind of going to ask a question along those lines, and I mean no disrespect in asking it. So, I mean, may I?
Sure.
Okay, and again, I ask this with all sincerity because of the thesis that I've been sort of working through this evening. And I'm just going to paint with a broad brush.
Sure.
Let's say a person has been a member of an Orthodox synagogue for a very long time.
Right.
And some Shabbat, he comes wandering into the sanctuary, eating a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich.
The ultra-Orthodox would look at that as weird, simple, and depending on the congregation might...
Well, at some point, might somebody not look at him and go, you know, you're not really Jewish.
Yeah, not really, right. And that happens for those in ultra-Orthodox communities who actually do something as bold as coming out as gay, and some will just mourn their child as dead. The conservative.
And the same thing would probably happen at a mosque with the same bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. You're not really Muslim.
Right, or at least some people would say that. Here's the thing. In Judaism, there are more liberal strands, the Reform and the Conservative movements and the Reconstructionists, so that those things are kind of a matter of personal choice, and those movements are much more open to the LGBT community. In fact, at a synagogue I belonged to, there was a Havarah, a group of families, and it included a lesbian couple and their children. You will not see that in the ultra-Orthodox or the fundamentalists of any stripe, simply because they would view that as beyond the bounds of their community. And the problem with people in moderate or liberal congregations of any faith criticizing the fundamentalist is the fundamentalist will say, well, then really not one of us. So,
well, I mean, the reason I ask these questions, and I'm not being trying just to be facetious, the reason I ask these questions, Will, is the core of my argument this evening is that these Christians keep behaving like this because other Christians, well, you know, they'll say things like, you know, we don't approve. That's not our brand of Christianity. But they acknowledge that what they will not do is say that Pat Robertson is not entitled to the salvation of Christ Jesus. Okay?
Well, if that was done by, let's say, and again, let me bring up Dr. Reverend Gaddy's name as a relatively well-known liberal Christian. If he were to say that, would that make him any different from Pat Robertson, who I'm sure has said that liberal Christians aren't really Christians? That's a problem. How do you oppose something without becoming it? That's, I think, is part of the slippery slope. I think it's easier to say condemn behavior, which you can point to and say, this is not what I believe. This is not what I would see Jesus doing.
Well, see, that's why I needed this conversation. Because, A, Will, there is precious damned little condemnation of this kind of stuff.
It is, and I find that disturbing.
And, you know, there's an ancient legal maxim that silence is acceptance.
Yes, and this is a problem. The case,
but it's also a structural problem within Christianity, because yes. Christianity has some fair. In order for Christianity to spread, it had to be, you know, it's kind of like a Shakespeare play. You got to have something in it for the groundlings who can only appreciate pratfalls and pies and faces, and you got to have some, you know, some high minded stuff for the people who can afford to sit down and watch the play.
Right.
And you know, you can argue Shakespeare took that model from the church.
Right.
So what we've got here is, you know, the core of Christianity is believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Right? I mean,
right.
You're done. And forgiveness is available to all believers up to the very last instant.
Right.
You know, the Roman Catholic Church came up with the idea of purgatory as a sort of way of mitigating that. You can't just be a murderous asshole all your life, and then, you know, you get, forgive me, Jesus, and you're gone, and it's dirt nap.
Right.
And you're at the right hand of God.
Right. I would like to say, in the case of a few historical figures and a few more recent ones, one could imagine that a Catholic theologian might think their term in purgatory might be all slightly before either the heat death of the universe or it contracts and goes back into a cosmic egg. But I mean, this is the, you just say the core message of Christianity, but here's something I don't hear Pat Robertson and his ilk say. It's mentioned in Leviticus. Love your neighbor as yourself. I do not see Pat Robertson and others being that neighborly. In fact, there are Muslims and gay people I've known whom I would gladly have as a neighbor before Pat Robertson, because I would know that based on how they have acted towards me, I could actually rely on them if something was going on. In the case of Pat Robertson, I get the feeling he would just walk away from someone suffering unless it was someone he deemed righteous.
No, absolutely. I mean, that goes back to the death of Scalia. You know, he was hardcore. I mean, he was one of those hair shirt type Roman Catholics. So,
Opus
you know,
Dei.
Yeah, Opus Dei, exactly. And so he died in his sleep. Okay. Technically, that means he died unshriven. But one, you know, I got a little chuckle because in the days after his death was announced, somebody said, "Oh yeah, well, you know, the priest gave him last rites after he was dead." I'm like, God Almighty, that's cheating even within the terms of your own rules.
Right. I was going to say, I thought the last rites. Forgive me, as I'm not knowledgeable about this, as I'm not a Catholic, although I have friends and family who are. I thought that for the last rites, you had to be near death.
You had to be breathing, but you had to still be breathing out and breathing in. I mean, that's why it's extreme unction. It's not unction post-mortem.
Exactly.
Because post-mortem, it ain't unction anymore. It's wishful thinking.
Right, because post-mortem, you are not suffering in this body. Your body is just there. And by Catholic doctrine, your soul is elsewhere. But in the case of this fanaticism, I find it troubling. And I fear we are having crocodile tears by Robertson and others, some Florida officials. I don't see Governor Voldemort as that supportive of gay rights.
I mean, there's how do will none of us ever be, mercifully, inside the skull of Pat Robertson or Theodore Shubat or Rick Wiles or any of these other hate mongers?
I fear we would find it rather vacant and might make for a very good squash ball.
And kind of, and well, frankly, for straight people, I think we'd probably find it kind of gay. The closet is between their ears. But the larger point is, so when they fall on their knees at night and have their personal relationship with Jesus Christ, do they thank Jesus for sending Omar Mateen to kill the homosexuals that they believed to deserve to die in the first place because they're Christians? Because it reminds me, and this is painful to even mention, but it reminds me of Pastor Brother John Hagee, whom I'm surprised has not come out of his spider hole to say something mean, hateful, and spiteful.
He might be busy trying to find too many Krispy Kreme donuts.
Well, but do you remember when he said that Hitler? Oh, wait a minute. 8:09 p.m. 8:09 p.m. Who had 8:09 p.m.? Damn it.
Godwin's law has been breached.
And the Hitler lottery has been triggered. But he said that Hitler was sent by God to drive the Jews back to the Holy Land.
Guess what? I have never heard a rabbi personally say that. And there are at least two people I know personally who are Holocaust survivors. If those old people, both in the 90s, told Hagee to go to hell and to ride there on the whore he rode in on, and enough of their mothers, of his mother, I would blame them. If one of them grabbed her cane and slapped him across the face, I don't think a jury could.
And yet here's the irony. You know, Pastor John Hagee is the founder of QIFI, okay? Citizens United for Israel. So he has a QIFI meeting every year, and rabbis from all over come and kiss his hairy toe.
Yes, this is because there are some in the Jewish community, like any others, who will gladly accept whatever allies they can find. Whereas I identify more with the view there is a need for a long-lasting just peace in the Middle East, and have listened to people such as Rabbi Eric Asherman of Rabbis for Human Rights, who has been beaten by Israeli soldiers, stoned by settlers, also stoned by a few Palestinians for defending the rights of Palestinians. And similarly, there's a poet I met, Alden Salevi, who had his ribs fractured for standing against the ultra-Orthodox at the Western Wall when some of the ultra-Orthodox tried to throw stones and chairs at women. Here's the problem. With a fanatic, it's very hard to argue against them because they believe they are absolutely right. In the argument we should perhaps focus on dealing with fanatics of any sort is trying to appeal to the middle ground, the undecided, because for some people, you're not going to get through to them until they decide they get can be reached. I'm particularly thinking of those who have turned away from hate movements or extreme groups. The only way they get out of them is when they realize, you know, I think I'm wrong. Wait a minute, I was wrong. But what we have here, in the case of Orlando, it is a lot of politicking over the bodies of dead Americans. And it looks like the shooter, whose name I will not honor by speaking it, was a man who was perhaps confused sexually, may have had mental issues, and then turned to someone who offered him an easy solution, namely a brand of fanaticism.
One of the interesting things about that fella is that he's out of character for the typical mass murderer, because I mean you're all too familiar, Will, with the usual way that the aftermath of these stories spin out. One of which is they start interviewing the neighbors, and the neighbors go, "Well, you know, it's kind of surprising. He was such a quiet fellow. I mean, he kept to himself. I mean, he didn't seem like the kind of guy." In this guy's case,
he seems like a full-on raging.
Guy's case, you go to the neighbors and you go, "Oh no, he was nuts. No, he was crazy. He was violent. He had problems at work. He had problems at his mosque. He had problems at this guy. No, he was a powder keg." At which point you go, "God, then how did this happen?"
Because sometimes we don't pay attention. I have to question a system where it is easier for someone to buy an AR-15, a weapon which will fire rounds as long as you squeeze the trigger and they're in there. Let's be clear.
You have to squeeze the trigger every time.
Yes, which takes
you
about
can't just hold. Yeah, you can't just hold the trigger down. That's fully automatic and.
Right, but pulling the trigger each time is, what, 1 or 2 seconds?
Yeah, there are no rods, patches, balls, and powder flasks and reload, no.
Right, so, I mean, here we have this fellow, but, Bob, would you believe I go through more getting a teaching license or in Indiana renewing the teaching license than it takes to get a gun? I am currently in the process of renewing my Indiana teaching license.
Well, hell's bells, it's more complicated getting a fishing license in West Virginia, Will.
Oh, yes. I mean, here's the thing. If you can buy guns at a show or online, and pretty much there is less restrictions than it takes to get a fishing license, a teaching license, a driving license. But, I mean, let's be blunt. We have seen an increase in the number of murders by firearms since the assault weapons ban expired in 2005. Meanwhile, down under, for our good friends in Australia, since they enacted their ban on firearms, making it darn harder to get a firearm in Australia than it is for me to get a teaching license. Once they've done that, well, son of a gun, their deaths by guns has gone down.
And why? Even right, and even in France, and bleeding Belgium, where we have seen such horrors perpetrated, those people had to work like dogs to get those guns in there.
Exactly. And for other countries that have gun restrictions, well, let's see. China, there's been a few attempts at massacres there, but guess what? They used, those were largely knives. And Israel, it's darn hard to get a gun. I'll only comment briefly on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict in saying that I believe there's jerks and idiots on all sides. And let's say every day Netanyahu makes me miss Rabin, may his memory be for a blessing. But generally, what's going on in the most recent attacks there by terrorists is stabbing. Why? Darn hard to get a gun. But, I mean, here's the thing. We should not be shocked that we have so many deaths when there is a mass murder by firearms, because the weapons used are designed to kill people in mass. You do not go elk hunting with an AR-15 because your elk will be parayed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean...
And just for anybody wondering, an AR-15 can be an inexpensive semi-automatic assault rifle alternative. As we noted earlier, Will, and as Ron points out, he didn't use an AR-15. This guy had some class. Okay, he ponied up at least $1,700 for a Sig Sauer MCX 223 caliber assault rifle and a whole bunch of 30-round clips. You press the button, you drop the clip, you pop the next clip in, you keep shooting. I mean, that process can take maybe twice as long as it takes to squeeze off one round. You can do that in 2-3 seconds.
Gee, 2 or 3 seconds? There's practically no human being who can respond that fast. And every time I hear...
Oh, but there was Geraldo Rivera, what, Monday night, was it? We had the clip of him saying, you know, come on, you sissies, you gotta rush him.
Well, that only works theoretically. And here's the thing, that would only work well if a bunch of people had the same exact thought and there were at least a quarter of them willing to die in the process. And guess what? Very few people run towards dangers. If you ask anyone who has actual military training, they would say the worst thing they would want to deal with is firing in a crowded theater, i.e. Aurora.
I have no doubt there were strobe lights going.
Yeah. So, I mean, that good heavens. Even a Navy SEAL team would find that a hard situation. And by the way, there was someone at the front door who was armed and firing a police officer. And still, that was a tough situation. I mean, just claiming armchair quarterbacking, I'll accept during the NFL season or college football, but not when it comes to matters such as this, which is actual life and death. And I mean, we need to support those who are willing to take a stand. It's time that we change our gun laws, and it's time that we also discourage hatred. And there's lots of things we can do. There's good organizations in your community and mine, wherever you're listening, which can deal with these issues. And in terms of community, we have to have a sense of community that includes everyone. We cannot divide ourselves into tribes such as the red tribe or the blue tribe and just say every one of the other tribe is not a human being. Sorry, if you are from this planet and sentient and can communicate with me, I'm going to give you the rights of a human being. Naturally, let's have someone bring up a dolphin for extended conversation. But in terms of community, there's a lot we can do. And I will right now do my obligatory, if you want this community to continue, the horn could use your help. Because it's not easy running this. And unfortunately, I've seen no sign of Soros clause. Again, this is something that I have to question.
I go to the mailbox every day.
Yes. Well, I'm afraid that you're not the only one. I keep on imagining Mike Malloy, Nicole Sandler, and several others doing so. But one thing that we can do is try to organize, educate, and inform, and also pressure the heck out of our legislatures, which is why I'm glad Donald Trump, and by the way, Trump also means slacken, which kind of fits his arguments, is falling behind in the polls. And here's the thing. They've selected a toxic candidate, so be it. Bob, I'm going to wish you well so you can put on a few more callers. But let's remember, support the horn, but more importantly, let's support each other. If we fail to see each other as human beings, then the fanatics of all stripes win. Love your neighbor as yourself. And who is your neighbor? Who is not your neighbor?
The rest is commentary.
Exactly. And were they here amongst us, were they at Orlando in the aftermath, I believe that both Rabbi Jesus and Rabbi Hillel would have spent their time comforting the wounded and taking care of the sick. And this is more Jewish and more Christian than I have heard from Pat Robertson and his ilk.
Well, thank you, Will. Thank you very kindly. Have a good evening. You know, I always enjoy our conversations.
Thank you.
Bye now. A man of goodwill, that's Will in Chicago. And meanwhile, let's run out to Southern California, shall we? Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Tracy. How are you, dear?
You know, I'm okay. I'm just listening to, you know, your show and listening to that idiot, you know, saying that it was just scum killing more scum. And I'm just like, you know, like you said, this is just basically state-sanctioned hate. When you write laws to, you know, say that, you know, gay marriage is harmful to the country, and you're so worried about people going into the bathroom, but you're not worried about who can buy a gun. It's just amazing to me. But I'm okay.
I mean, do you think? Let me just ask for the sake of discussion. Is the next one the next time one of these hate-filled, self-loathing, closeted people or religious practitioners does this? How long before one of them does it in drag, Tracy?
See,
I hate the way I think sometimes.
But it's just because you're thinking that'll give the hate mongers and the fear mongers. See, I told you. I told you that they're crazy people because what somebody did is in tracks. Exactly.
It was late last week when we had the report of the small explosive device going off in the restroom of the Target in Evanston, Illinois.
I missed that. Seriously, what?
Yeah, oh yeah. You got to listen every night, Tracy. I mean, put everything aside. You know, this is all that matters. We had a report last week of a small. I mean, because they emphasized, well, you know, it was a small explosive device. I mean, it's not like it had any BBs or ball bearings or nuts or anything in it. But
right, you know, or nails.
There were no nails or tacks. It was a small explosive device, and it and they set it off in the restroom at Target in Evanston, Illinois. And that, you know, that just gave me the chills. Because I'm pretty sure it wasn't a member of the trans community trying to to pin blame on the other side.
No, I know a lot of transgender people, not in their thought process. No, they're just trying to be able to walk down the street and not be beaten up or killed.
Right,
you know, kind of like black people. I'm really tired of people. I have a friend, we might be former friends now, who, she's a hilarious. And I posted on my Facebook, I retweeted about what Bernie Sanders tweeted about, you know, we need to do something about the superdelegates, blah, 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 right? And she just lost it. You know, sore loser, blah, 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 blah. And this is not the first time that she has, you know, gone on my Facebook page to, you know, basically tell me I'm stupid for voting for, supporting Bernie Sanders. So last night, you know, it was a culmination of, you know, the young lady getting killed in Friday in Orlando, then Saturday in Orlando, and then the child being killed, snatched by the alligator in Orlando. I'm like, and then she, so basically I wrote, you know, I am very tired. I said, my Facebook page is for my opinion. And, you know, I am basically welcome people to debate, but I do not appreciate people that I love and care about and respect writing on my Facebook page, basically telling me that I'm stupid for caring or, you know, supporting Bernie Sanders. I have enough respect for friends. I said, I have plenty of friends on Facebook that write some of the stupidest, inane, wackadoodle stuff that makes when I read it, I'm like, really? I actually, one of my friends actually wrote about, she's a gun nut, black woman, and got, you know, wrote, I'm tired of people blaming, saying that we need better gun laws, and they had to have, you know, somebody in the club with a gun, then they would have been okay, and I just like, and I could have commented on that from here until eternity, but there's no point because this is how she feels. And rather than risk her, I said, but rather than risk her friendship and respect her opinion, whether I do or not, but, you know, I don't go on people's Facebook pages and denigrate and argue with what they post on their Facebook page. I just don't. I have better things to do. And that's basically what I said. It's like, why do you even bother? Why do you care? Why do people get so worked up about my opinion? I'm not a public figure. This is my own little fiefdom, okay? It is not a democracy. My Facebook page is a goddamn dictatorship. And if you don't like what I write on my Facebook page, guess what? Unfriend me. Don't follow me. I don't care. But don't come on my Facebook page making me think, you know, try to make me feel stupid. I say, I don't know if it's a race thing. I don't know if it's a privilege thing. I don't know if it's an age thing where you think that I can't, I'm not intelligent enough to form my own opinion. But guess what I am? Yeah, I haven't heard from her since.
I'm being told by Sparky to ask you about the fireworks video on your Facebook page that you posted.
Yeah, I'm still trying. Yesterday, I had to, Will had a tryout in Artesia, and I'm sitting in my car, and I hear explosions, and I'm like, you know, I'm from South Central, so my first, you know, thing is to duck and cover, take cover.
Duck!
So, I look up, and I'm like, wait, it's fireworks. So, we came to the conclusion that it was, I think there was a graduation at a high school out down the street, or I can't imagine that they might have been celebrating Flag Day, because was yesterday Flag Day?
It was.
So that could have been it too, but I didn't care. I got to see fireworks. I don't know about you, Dial, but I love a good fireworks.
But in 2016, though, if you hear fireworks going off and you didn't know there were due to be fireworks?
Exactly.
Duck.
Exactly. That's what I was saying, because I was like, wait, exactly. I'm like, why, where am I? And, you know, because I had to think, where am I? I was in Artesia, which is very as an Indian, Pakistani, Himalayan, very, you know, heavily populated area. So I'm like, holy crap, what's going on? Am I in the middle of, you know? And again, like you said, in 2016, isn't it ridiculous that I have to worry about every time I lived in South Central, so anytime I hear an unexpected explosion, I take cover. I'm either taking cover or I'm running in the opposite direction. I don't stand around to investigate. But I was very happy that it turned out to be fireworks, because fireworks rock. Because I had a couple of friends like, well, wait, baby, it was Disneyland. I'm like, nope, I was west of Disneyland, and the fireworks were west of me. So it wouldn't be Disneyland and all that. So I put on my, you know, but it was awesome. That fireworks show made my day, or my evening rather. Cause like I said, anytime I can see fireworks, you can't help but be happy. You cannot help it. But yeah, so, you know, I'm really tired of people trying to, you know, like you were saying, it's okay. I don't have to agree with you. You don't have to agree with me, but don't get pissy with me because I don't think the way you want me to think. Cause that's not going to ever happen. I don't need you to tell me how to think.
Well, tell me, I mean, because you're on the hook right now, Tracy, you know, usually you have to speak for the entire black community.
Now I got to speak for the entire gay community.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, sorry. Some people are born to greatness. Others have greatness thrust upon them. So is there a sense, or have you heard anything after the dude from Taliban, Indiana, with the carload of guns and ammunition and the bucket full of explosives got popped on late Saturday night, early Sunday in, what, Santa Monica? Is anybody concerned about that?
Now, see, this is I love the media. Now, this guy had to be, of course, it's white.
Absolutely.
You don't hear anything about him.
Young white male.
Young white male. Was he radicalized? Was he just well, they'll probably say he had mental illness issues or what have you.
Well, he was running around with a bucket full of Tannerite.
Right. But, like you said,
which will go boom real big if you shoot it with a gun.
Right. But I have not heard one. You know, I'm constantly hearing, you know, you're hearing stories about the Orlando shooter and stuff like that. The only thing I've heard lately was that he was being arraigned, and that was it. You don't hear anything about, you know, you don't see people going to his neighborhood and interviewing his family, or like the young man who was shooting in UCLA a couple of weeks back. They had people at his house interviewing neighbors, all that stuff, but he was a brown person.
Ta-da!
You know, it's like that meme that I saw, you know, posted a while back. You know, they had the three different, you know, people holding guns. You had a brother with a gun. He was a thug. An Arab person with a gun. Terrorist. White person with a gun. Patriot.
There you go.
You know.
So black people up in their armpits in fetid hurricane floodwaters. Looters.
Looters.
White people, foragers.
Foragers, survivors. And then white people tearing up a city after a hockey game, partygoers, revelers. black people standing up for Black Lives Matter and the peaceful demonstration, rioters.
Yeah. Yeah, the most you can get is hooligans.
Yeah. Hooligans. Shenanigans. Hijinks. You know, boys will be boys.
Youthful. Wait. What did Dim Leader call it? Youthful indiscretions. Of course, his youthful indiscretions were when he was in his 40s.
Right. Well, it's like the, you know, that judge in up at Stanford that gave the young man, you know, 6 months in jail for sexual assault black guy, rapist.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, one gets 30 years, the other gets 6 months.
Mm-hmm. One gets 30 years to life for, you know, $5 rock. You know, and this man raped an unconscious woman. You know, and of course the picture of him that the media gives is that, you know, high school yearbook picture and not the actual mugshot. Yeah. It's so much fun, but we, you know, it's so scary about that fool that they popped Sunday morning because Jan and I, you know, we woke up to, Jan wakes up before me and she had the news on Sunday morning and I kind of heard what happened and I'm like, I heard shooting in a, you know, you go in and out of consciousness and I heard shooting Orlando and then I heard club. And then as I started to wake up more and I'm like, baby, did they just say gay club? And I'm like, oh. And so after a couple of hours of, you know, on and on about what happened, you could, your brain and your psyche can only take so much. So I started watching, you know, movies from, you know, TMC. I watched Sabrina and American in Paris and all that. So I wasn't tuned into regular television, broadcast television. And, but before all that happened, Jan's like, because we hadn't planned on going to Pride anyway. And then we thought about it and like, no, we're tired. And Jan, and before we heard about it, Jan's like, I hope no one gets the idea of, emulating Orlando at Pride this weekend on Sunday. And she hadn't said that. Not 15 minutes later, one of our friends called and asked if we were going to Pride. And we said no. Because he's like, well, had we heard about the fool of Santa Monica? And I'm like, no. We hadn't heard. So then we had to turn it. And I still didn't turn on the news. I just Googled it. And I'm just like, you know, It's just, at what point do we start, and by I mean we, when I say we, those people that are in charge of shit, start saying, okay, enough. President Obama had, I don't know when this town hall meeting was, I guess.
It was early June, about 2 weeks ago.
Okay. The one when the guy's like, why are you trying to take our guns and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I ran that audio of that idiot.
Yeah, and he's like, wait, now let me get something straight with you right now. We're not trying to take your gun. We just want, you know, common sense, you know, Congress.
I really wish he would have opened up a can of whoop ass on the guy though. Kind of like he opened up on Trump yesterday. Because I would like to have said, sir, do you hunt with a semi-automatic assault rifle? Do you really need 30 rounds to knock down a deer? Because my deer hunting buddies say that if you can't get it on the first shot, you're probably not going to get it on the number 2 or number 30 either.
Exactly. Because after the first shot, the deer knows you're there and he's going to go running, right?
Well, right. And God forbid you hit it, it's just going to be hamburger. Depending on where you hit it, you know.
Well, my sisters, I guess my soon-to-be brother-in-law, they're getting married next weekend. He hunts with a bow and arrow.
Sure.
Up in
a tree stand and, yeah.
Yeah, no, that good stuff.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you, geographically, how far is it from L.A. to San Diego?
2 hours.
Okay, so just because you were talking about, you know, Orlando versus Santa Monica, that kind of thing, you are aware that the FBI is investigating an Orlando-style threat in San Diego, right?
Oh, no.
An ad placed on Craigslist in San Diego that read the following. Orlando was long overdue. Cleanse your community of the filth that gives decent gay men and women a bad name. Those people were walking diseases. bug chasers. And thank God for AIDS and 9/11 and now Orlando. San Diego, you are next.
I don't get these people. Hey, speaking of I don't get these people, is Anderson Cooper trying to get Butch?
Well, Pam Bondi is real pissed at him.
Because
he outed her. Not as gay, but as, you know, a homophobic twit.
Right. It's like, I don't want your prayers now, bitch. And I don't want you, standing with the gay and lesbian community, blah, 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 when you guys, you write laws to break, tell people that, having, like you said, state-sanctioned hate. You are the problem. And they don't get, there's like a direct, whatever the word is, I can't think. Like Obama was saying, when all these people were dying because, car accidents, they're like, okay, we got to study this. And what happens when they study it? We have to start wearing seatbelts. Same thing with, helmet laws for people to ride motorcycles and bicycles. The death rates drop.
Mm-hmm.
When, after 9/11.
If you put up stop signs, fewer people get T-boned at intersections.
Exactly. 9/11, we're no longer able to bring sharp instruments on planes. Box cutters and cigarette lighters and to my chagrin, only three ounce bottles of lotion. And anybody that's black and knows that 3 ounces of lotion is not going to do shit for me. I need the full size bottle of lotion. Thank you very much.
You need the vat.
I need the vat. So,
cocoa butter, 50-gallon drum.
Absolutely. And now
shea butter,
whatever, and olive oil. I mean, got very dry skin. So we figured all this out. But you can't see that there's a direct correlation or whatever for guns, having easy access to guns and people dying.
I do give credit to Senator Elizabeth Warren for coming up with a new way to talk about these weapons, though. I watched a little bit of the filibuster today, and she has introduced a new term into the dialogue, Tracy.
Instead of saying
semi-automatic assault rifle or weapons of war, no. All she referred to them as is Rambo-style weapons.
Well, what was that movie, Jackie Brown? What was the line that Samuel Jackson says in the movie? Was it AK-47 or whatever, when you absolutely positively have to kill every motherfucker in the room?
Yeah, yeah. But of course, an AK is, the AK was a Russian invention.
Right.
Whereas the AR series, it's too much to talk. But this was, of course, a Sig Sauer, which was a very upscale, expensive affair. I mean, he was going out in a blaze of name brand glory.
Exactly. But the thing is,
because capitalism, Tracy, now that it's getting around that it was a Sig Sauer, the marketing department of Sig Sauer is going, this is awesome. Remington was getting all the sales. Do you realize that after this, the sales of our weapon are going to go through the roof?
Mm-hmm.
Fire up the overtime production line, boys. We're in some money.
Like, I this morning, today was my airport day, and I picked up these two guys. One of his clients is Disney, and we were talking about how, you know, when stuff like this happens, as soon as the Orlando, you know, word got out about the Orlando, you know, massacre, Disney's like immediately, he sent out emails, immediately pull, you know, advertising, you know, commercials and stuff for Orlando, because we don't want that. And then he's like, and then we had the thing with the alligator. He's like, my God. You know, we just saw the alligator story.
What the hell?
So apparently there's signs up, no swimming. They let the kid go out to the water at night. Now, they didn't know.
It's Florida.
They're like, well, we didn't know there were alligators.
Florida. It's Disney. They're animatronic alligators.
Right.
You know, and just so like the animatronic Ronald Reagan.
Right. It's like, so apparently the kid was out like playing in the water. Alligator came, snatched him. They found his body. Fortunately, he wasn't mauled or anything. The baby was drowned. But again, it's like what happened in Ohio with the gorilla. Rules are in place for a reason. If it says keep out the water, no swimming, keep out the water.
Don't go near the water.
Don't go near the water, especially at night. Because what? Aren't crocodiles and all that, aren't they pretty much nocturnal?
Oh, your heart just breaks for these people.
My heart is breaking. But again.
And they went and killed, by the way, I mean, they do. They went and killed several alligators to see if they could find the little boy in them.
Right, and then they found his body floating. And apparently, And again, your heart breaks. The only thing I could think of is like when you and I were growing up, remember those rules? I mean, other than we didn't have car seats and stuff like that, and we didn't have helmets and stuff, we wouldn't roll
by. Yeah, I stood up on the bench seat in the 1966 Chrysler Newport Town Sedan. I stood up on the bench seat as a toddler and put my arm on my dad's shoulder. Yeah.
Right. I used to
lucky
ride,
to be here.
Ride the back of pickup, you know, used to ride in the back of pickup trucks, not an issue. Okay. So, but still. When our parents told us not to move, we didn't move. Or I like the fact that children have more freedoms and there's a permissiveness that, you know, because there's a little bit more. But then again, there's rules are in force for a reason. Because typically, it's like regulations. They're there to keep you safe.
Hey, you want to vomit a little bit in the back of your throat? What kind of question is that? No, you don't, but I'm going to make you anyway. So in the story I'm looking at, and it comes from Reuters, real, live, honest-to-goodness journalism, there's this sentence. After describing what happened and everything, shares in Walt Disney Company appeared to be unaffected by the incident, closing down 13 cents at $98.27 a share.
What?
Yeah, in the middle of a story about a 2-year-old toddler being killed by an alligator, they work in the share price so that the stockholders with Disney stock won't be worried that they're going to lose a little bit of their corporate profits, Tracy.
And all of this because, see, of course, this happened because Shanghai Disney is opening. You know, let's not forget that.
Maybe they can open Disney Amazon with some piranhas.
Yeah. Yeah. That, you know, I'm looking, I just, it boggles between, you know, it just really boggles the mind of what people will do because of profit. I was up in Sacramento on Monday to speak in front of the PUC about, how Uber is killing us and how they're not regulated, but we're regulated to death, and that they need to relax some of the restrictions. Not the insurance, not the inspections or anything like that, but the fact that I can only pick up in certain areas where Uber and Lyft are free to pick up anywhere. And it was interesting. I saw the democratic process at work.
You saw democracy in action?
Yeah.
One word. INACTION. Democracy in action.
Yeah. It was interesting. But what I also saw was the behind the scenes, because we have our lobbyists, and I'm sitting there going, and so it goes. I'm watching how, democracy is at a price. And it's at that point where who has the largest, whose lobbyist has the most, more money? And that's who gets hurt. I mean, if it comes down to it, the taxi industry has no money in comparison to Uber and Lyft. But one of the senators, the chairman of the committee, actually said that, okay, we, in our rush to, welcome in Uber and all this, we kind of dropped the ball on making sure that they played fair and blah, blah, blah. We can't put that genie back in the bottle. And I want to say, why not? Yes, you can. You just write a law. Just that simple. But I didn't say that because I didn't want to get upset.
Right, yeah. Well, Tracy, I'm glad you had that opportunity, and hopefully you'll get some relief. Especially because, I'm not crazy about Uber. They got, they've got a model that's exploitative, and we're finding out more and more that when you just let anybody with a car sort of hack, you get some real interesting folks like the guy in Australia. The clip I ran last week of him going off on the lesbian women, and the shooter, of course, and that sort of thing. So I wish you well in that. You got fan mail from Jack in Shreveport. Subject line, Tracy fan mail. Uber is one of those pet peeves of mine. I guess I lost Tracy. Uber, Jack says, is one of those pet peeves of mine. I hate the idea of it, or at least the reality of it. Yeah, because nobody's going to make their fortune on Uber, not by a long shot. Note coming in from Tim. Oh, nice. Subject line, about the Talibandiana asshole. Bail was increased to $2 million for this guy. The guy who was busted with the Tannerite and the car full of guns. Who just happened to be going to the Pride Parade. Courtesy of KTLA Channel 5, Team Action News eyewitness coverage. Man in Santa Monica weapons case charged with child molestation in Indiana. He's been charged with molesting a 12-year-old girl in his home state. The charges against James Wesley Howell, 20, were filed in Clark County, Indiana, just north of Louisville, Kentucky, on Wednesday, a day after Howell was charged in California. The Indiana charging document alleges Howell performed or submitted to sexual intercourse or sexual conduct with a 12-year-old on May the 31st in Clark County, Talibandiana. He was charged with felony child molesting. Oh, my God. The girl's mother called authorities after being told that her daughter allegedly had sex with Howell in his car in a state forest when he was driving the child to her grandmother's house. So naturally, he went to California to blow up a pride parade. What happened, Tracy?
I was in a canyon, and I know you the show's about to end. How are you all fundraising today?
We got $50 to go.
Okay. You got it.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very kindly.
That's what I meant to say, but I forgot what was on my train of thought. But, again, I hope that, I know that these are not going to be the last of these, but like I said, watch the democratic process, and knowing that some of our legislators actually listen, but we need to start, getting in people's faces about these laws, about their inaction, and especially in calling, like you said, about the Christians who sit back and let other so-called Christians say whatever the hell they want to say. And say, but, they could be forgiven. No. They may be forgiven, but they're living here now, and they need to be called on their shit.
They're free to they're free to shuffle off this mortal coil and try their luck at the pearly gates.
I like the idea of them having their 501c3 or whatever their nonprofit standing for.
Well, see, I mean, that's the thing, Tracy, and we'll wrap up on this, I guess. This is the religious freedom guarantee enshrined in the First Amendment is a pretty remarkable thing. As long as you understand it to be the broad liberal statement that it is, that everyone is free to believe as they wish to believe or not believe as they wish to not believe.
Exactly.
You can, you can be anything you want to be religiously, and we're not going to screw with you. But it's, as always, a few people make sure that we can't have nice things. And it's these monsters come here, be here, be born here, whatever, believe as you choose. But believing does not, there is not something in the First Amendment that also confers the right to try to impose those beliefs on other people. Or God knows upon government.
Exactly.
And they're just not happy. If it turns out that apparently there was a guy at a mosque in Orlando who was preaching some pretty homophobic hatred, and you know what I say to him? Fuck off, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the vast majority of the people preaching homophobic hatred are not Muslims in this country. They are Christians. And see, they don't have any problem saying, and this was part of what I was talking to Will about, they don't have any problem saying that you down there at Metropolitan Community Church are not a Christian. You're going to fry as far as they're concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So why in the hell can't somebody from there say, nope, sorry, you're outside the communion of Christ, you're going to hell. Christ didn't die for people with hearts full of hatred. Sorry.
Yeah, I have no issue with saying it, but then I'm not. That's why people like me and you aren't in charge of anything.
Well, I don't know. Maybe bring it up with your minister or something. Say, maybe it's time we end our silence. Maybe it's time we stop pretending that just because he believes two or three things that somehow or another he and you and me and he, I mean, because he's going to be shocked shitless if he marches through those pearlies and there's a whole bunch of gay people standing there. I mean, what's he going to do? Turn to St. Peter and go, oh, fuck it, put me on the elevator, hit down.
Exactly.
Yeah. Tracy, have a good evening. Thank you, dear. And thank you for finishing off fundraising for this evening.
Not a problem. Anything I can do to help.
All right. You have a lovely evening. We'll talk soon.
My dear.
Bye now. The one and only Tracy, the lady cab driver, who stood up for other cab drivers and went and testified in Sacramento. I'm mighty proud. So here endeth the lesson for this here prayer meeting Wednesday. Thorn in the Side Thursday, tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for jumping in and helping out with fundraising this evening. That's how we get it done. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, and thank you to A. Nani Mouse, and thank you to Charlene, and thank you to Tracy. Thank you to Steve. Make sure I'm not missing anybody. I don't think I have. Thanks, one and all. Have a wonderful evening. We'll talk soon. Hey, it's Malloy time. Y'all have a great night.